You turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 9 through verse 13. I'll read the odds, verses 9, 11, and 13, if you'll read along with me and join with me on the even verses, verses 10 and 12. And if you found Matthew chapter 6, if you'll please stand in honor of the reading God's Word. Matthew chapter 6, and I'll start reading verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And let's pray. Lord God in heaven, thank you for what we've read this morning. Open the King James Bible. What a blessing. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the special. Prepare our hearts for the message. Lord, I pray if there's someone that's lost that doesn't know they're going to heaven this morning, Lord, I pray that they'd get that settled. Lord, I pray you'd bless. Give us a good Sunday morning message. Be with the preaching. Lord, I pray you prepare our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Some people ask me why I'm so happy, even when sorrows press on. They see me laughing while the storm's raging. They wonder where I get my song. But they cannot see the troubles I faced not so very long ago. And to comprehend this joy that's within, there's something they need to know.
I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den. Given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued.
Well, I used to feel trouble, my sorrows were doubled as the burdens of life had me down. I was defeated till I saw what I needed, then His tender mercy I found. And though life is rough, I'm not giving up, even though I am tested and tried. I'll not waste time doubting, I'll go on a shouting, I've crossed to the winning side. I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher. Sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry, I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die. Delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. I've been saved from the flames of a hot burning fire, lifted from the tempest as the waves grew higher, sheltered from a desert, dusty and dry. I was given a drink of water when I thought I would die, delivered from the danger of a dark lion's den, given new life in exchange for my sin, set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued. Set free, forgiven, I've been born again. My brother, I have been rescued.
Thank you, fellas. Good singing this morning. Amen. Now, I don't want to hear another word about me preaching too fast. Amen. Man, they put a lot of words in a short space of time there. Amen. I got most of them, too. That was a blessing. Amen. All right. Very good. I want to speak this morning on this subject, Prayer 101. Prayer 101. And this probably will not be the only message from this text. over the next few Sundays. I don't know how long it'll take. But it won't take as long as the book of Acts is taken on Wednesday night. And we'll get going here and pray this morning and ask God to bless us. Thank you, Lord, for rescuing us. Thank you for rescuing us. We were absolutely helpless and hopeless. And thank you for the blood of Jesus. Now help me this morning. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, ignite a desire. Please create a desire in hearts this morning all over this room to start this week a meaningful time of communication with you. That's so important, oh God. Bless us today. Help me, I pray. Fill me with your Spirit in Jesus' name. And amen. Have you ever had an appointment scheduled with someone you were a little nervous about meeting? Not that there was anything negative about the appointment, but just the stature of the person or maybe the unfamiliarity with the person made you a little bit anxious or apprehensive about meeting with them. I had that experience earlier this year. Many of you remember that we were involved in a project called the Capital Connection Project that was sponsored by Chuck Harding and Brother Creed out in Virginia there. And I don't have time to go into all of it today, but basically it was the fact that money was raised to purchase a Bible that was placed in all 535 congressional offices on Capitol Hill, all the 435 representatives and the 100 senators. And our church participated in that, and I was one of about 175 pastors, maybe 300 people, who went to Capitol Hill on a Tuesday. And we went to our representatives, both on the House side and the Senate side, and we made sure that they had received the Bible and explained where it came from. And as the project was getting developed, was underway, they would send an email. They said, now be sure and try to contact your representative and a senator and line up an appointment. Well, it was difficult to line up an appointment with our representative because he was in jail, and along with about two-thirds of the other Illinois politicians. And so, but we did write email Senator Kirk and Senator Durbin, and I was like, oh, you have little faith. I was absolutely shocked to receive an email back from Dick Durbin and said he'll be happy to see you for 15 minutes on that particular Tuesday at a certain time. I forget what it was. And I was shocked, and I thought, boy, he said that. And look, Dick Durbin, you know, like him or not, agree with him or not, politically here in the United States, he's a person of importance. He's the second highest ranking senator in the Senate, second highest ranking. And what's it, Reed from Nevada being the other, being above him, the Senate, the majority, the president of the Senate, okay? And so he's second in command, and, you know, he's in the news and that type of fella. And so I was thinking, boy, man, what am I going to say to him, you know? And I wasn't nervous about meeting with him. I was kind of looking forward to it, but I was a little apprehensive about, what am I going to say? And I was trying to get down in my mind what I wanted to say, what I thought I should say. And, you know, then we went to D.C. on that Monday, Brother Woodward and I, and we got to that meeting on Monday night and had a service, and they had an orientation time. And they kind of told us, they gave us a little bit of an overview of what to say. Now, listen, it was impossible. I guess not impossible, but it was not. They didn't mean for us to memorize the overview and take a memorized speech and talk to the senator or representative. They wanted us to look at the overview, look at what we were supposed to say, get an idea of what they wanted us to say to these representatives, and then go in and speak to them on a personal basis in a meeting. And so that's what we did. I got there, and boy, you talk about being relieved. I was somewhat relieved because I was now familiar with what I was going to say to Senator Durbin. And, you know, man, he had the Bible there on the table, the coffee table, beautiful ornate office on Capitol Hill in the Capitol building. And he had us come in, talked about the Bible. He was funny. He was engaging. We had a great talk, a nice time with him. And I was familiar with what I was going to say. It really took the anxiety out of what to say to this man who holds this position of importance, and I was a little bit anxious about what I was going to say to him. Now, listen carefully. Keep that in mind. God has a desire to talk to His people. God has a desire to talk to His people. So we have an opportunity to have a meeting with one who is far above the office of any American politician. In fact, we have an opportunity to have a meeting with the one who is higher than any king or any potentate on earth. And this meeting takes place through the avenue of what is known as prayer. That's the word that the Bible uses for it. Prayer. Prayer is talking to God. Okay? Now, I think sometimes God's people are a little unsure of what to say when they pray. Maybe folks that have just newly been saved. And we have a tremendous cross-section here in this auditorium today. I'm sure there are folks who are not yet saved. And not yet born into God's family. And we have folks that have just become members of God's family. And we have folks that have been members of God's family for years and years. And, you know, it's interesting sometimes when I'm out visiting folks and, you know, new people even sometimes. And, you know, they can't come on Sunday because they work. Well, we have a Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. What do you do? Well, we have prayer meeting and Bible study. We study the Bible. We break up into groups of two or three. And we pray. And it's like, I've had them say this. I couldn't be a part of that prayer meeting. I wouldn't know. I'm not sure what to say. And I'm convinced, like, I was a little bit apprehensive about going to see Dick Durbin because I didn't know what should I say to him. I'm convinced that some of God's people have the same apprehension about praying. It's like, I'm not sure what to say. And what we have here in Matthew chapter 6 is not the Lord's Prayer. Now, if I had to start the service this morning by saying, folks, let's all stand together and let's recite the Lord's Prayer, I would imagine that 95% of us could have stood to our feet and said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's what we know as the Lord's Prayer. That's what the world calls it. We always said the Lord's Prayer before the basketball games in high school. The coach would get us together in the locker room, put our hands together, and then say the Lord's Prayer. And then go out and get kicked around the first half of the basketball game and come back in the same locker room where we had the Lord's Prayer. There were things that weren't associated with the Lord whatsoever going on. And all kinds of things. Upset. So this is not the Lord's Prayer. What we have in Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 through 13 is our prayer. Look at verse number 9. Jesus said, After this manner, therefore, pray ye. This is not the prayer that Jesus prayed to His Father. That's found in John chapter 17. This is a prayer that He gave to His disciples to pray. Okay? So that's you and me. Jesus took the care to teach us a manner of prayer. The better name for this is the model prayer. This is a model. This is an overview, a manner of prayer that people can follow to have a daily motivation, a daily conversation with their Heavenly Father. That's why I'm calling this today Prayer 101. You know, when you go to college, a lot of times you'll take Math 101. That's the lowest level math that you can take in that college, or English 101, or Science 101. It's the basics, and that's what we have in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. You have Prayer 101. You have the basics of what we need to know in order to have a conversation with our Heavenly Father. Okay? That's what this is. And so if you haven't become engaged yet in this wonderful opportunity known as prayer, maybe it's because you don't know what to say. You're a little bit kind of dumbfounded. You know, it's like, okay, Lord, bless me, bless my family, bless the missionaries, and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's okay. But there's a whole lot more enjoyment in prayer than just that. So I want to talk to you about this. Now, before I make some observations here from this passage, let me say this. One of the most obvious lessons that we can learn from Jesus Christ about the matter of prayer is this. Now, don't miss this. Jesus expected that saved people would pray. Now, what you got here in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you got that famous Sermon on the Mount. And he starts off in chapter 5 teaching to his disciples, okay? Now, you got your Bible open to Matthew 6 there. Look at verse number 5, okay? Now, this is the words of Jesus. He's teaching his followers, his disciples. And look at what he says. And follow with me. And if thou prayest. No, what does he say? When? What is that? That's an expectation, isn't it? When thou prayest, look at verse number 6, same passage. But thou, if thou prayest, no, when thou prayest. So again, it's an expectation. In verse number 7, again, he says in verse 7, but when ye pray. And then he came to verse number 9 and he said, after this manner, pray ye. So folks, I think it's pretty obvious here, just as a way of observation, before we get into the actual model prayer, it's pretty obvious that Jesus expected his followers, his disciples, would pray to the Heavenly Father. Now, Jesus is God's Son, and he talks to his Father, and we, being the children of God, should talk to our Father in heaven as well. And Jesus fully expected his disciples to do just that. I think it's obvious. For believers, for folks who are saved, prayer ought to be as normal as talking to our earthly family members. When you rise in the morning, if you're right with each other, the normal thing is, good morning, hello, how are you? Good morning, how you doing? Did you sleep well? Your kids come down, hey, how you doing? That's normal. It's a normal part of a family. Conversation in the morning. Now, we are, if you've been born again into God's family, if you've been saved, you are a part of God's family, and for believers, prayer ought to be talking to our Heavenly Father, ought to be as normal as talking to our earthly family members. And that's what Jesus is basically expecting here. He didn't say to his disciples, now, if you pray. He said, when you pray. So there's an assumption, there's an expectation that because you are a follower of mine, because you belong to God, you're going to be talking to your Heavenly Father. You're not about to go through this life on your own. You're not about to live day after day after day after day after day without talking to your Father in heaven. So communication between the Heavenly Father and His people is a vital necessity, and it ought to be a matter of consistency. And I bring that out because we know that Jesus expected this to be a daily matter because of verse number 11. Look at it. In the middle of the prayer, verse number 11, give us, what's the next two words? This day. This day. He is saying, praying, he's praying. For today, that would be Sunday. This day is not Monday. And this day is not Thursday. This day is Sunday. And then tomorrow, this day will be Monday. And then Tuesday, this day will be Tuesday. You get the picture. Yes, this is not, come on, you know. It's a daily matter. It is a daily matter. So all the elements that are contained in this model prayer are matters of daily importance. You know what I believe? I believe that what is covered in this prayer are matters that Jesus expected His followers would need to, and listen to this, want to talk to their Heavenly Father about. Daily. Daily. So this is, we're not even into the prayer yet, really. We've already seen where Jesus expected that His followers would pray, and Jesus expected that they would do so on a daily basis. And the truth is that God desires for us to come to Him on a daily basis. He looks forward to His children calling on Him. Many of you have kids who live away from home, like I do. And there's nothing more wonderful than to the phone rings, you pick it up, and you hear the voice on the other end of the line. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. Your kid's calling. You enjoy that. And remember, friend, the Bible teaches that we are made in the image of God. We like it when our kids call. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom. And you know what I'll tell you this morning, friend? God likes it when we call as well. Now, we're not irreverent and we're not sloppily casual with God. We don't refer to Him as the big daddy or the old man upstairs. No, none of that stuff whatsoever. But we're still His children and He is our Father. And Jesus expected that the followers of Christ, His followers, the children of God, would pray to their Heavenly Father and do so on a daily basis. Now, I want to look at this. I'm not going to finish it today, but we'll go as far as we can. Look at what He said. He said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. First thing he said was in verse number 9, Our Father which art in heaven. And we'll stop right there. Our Father which art in heaven. Let's talk a minute, just for a minute here, about what this is not. This is not some memorized monologue. This is not some spoken by rote Hail Mary. Okay, now I'm not dissing anybody, but I'm saying, folks, that's not what Jesus intended here. Okay? They did not give us the sheet of paper on Monday night and say, now look, go back to your motel rooms and commit this to memory. And when you go in Dick Durbin's office on Tuesday, stand there and like a robot. And say that. Read over this. Understand what the gist of this conversation is supposed to be like, what the gist of this thing is, and then go in and talk to Dick Durbin yourself and be yourself. And friend, that's what God our Father wants us to be. He wants us to be. Don't you like the uniqueness of each one of your children? Those of you that have more than one child, aren't you glad they're not all cookie cutter the same? In some cases that might be easy, okay, but other cases it'd be a nightmare. So God says, okay, Jesus said, here's the overview. Here is the outline. Here is the model. Here's the manner. And when you pray, because I know you're going to, when you pray on a daily basis, this is what you want to talk to your Father in heaven about. And He said, you begin this with our Father, which art in heaven. It's not some kind of ritualistic head prayer that you just go through like a row. You know what John Bunyan said? John Bunyan said, when thou prayest, rather let thy heart be without words than thy words without heart. I like that. In other words, he says it's got to come from the heart. And somebody else said, prayer is not eloquence, but earnestness. Remember when Peter was sinking in the water? When he was sinking in the water, he didn't take time. Oh, God of our fathers, thou that createst all the heavens and the universe and everything that's around us and keeps it all in existence. La, 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 please help me. You know what he said? He said, Lord, save me. And you know, we kind of developed in churches is this eloquent speech that's aimed more at the people who are listening than the one we're supposed to be praying to. Oh, thou God, why in the world do we change? Who is God? Now, you think I'm being... Listen, John Rice, he held a big citywide campaign down in Dallas, Texas years and years and years ago, and they invited all the churches in the Dallas area to be a part of it, and those pastors sat on the platform, and the pastors whose churches participated, big crowd, and Dr. Rice preached and on salvation message, and he had, how many of you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? 50 adults raised their hands. He said at least 50. And his heart was moved, and he wanted to involve the pastors. And so he turned to one of these dignified pastors who was on the platform and said, Brother, would you please come and word the prayer before the invitation? And that preacher got up there and began all that old God creator and all that stuff and began, and God, we know what you said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, gave the Bible verse, the chapter everywhere, quoted all this scripture, and went on and on and on, this big eloquent prayer that had no heart in it whatsoever. And they gave the invitation, not one man came forward. None. And John Rice made a decision that day on that platform, he would never ever turn the prayer over to another person. He prayed himself. And he was ornery enough. He wasn't going to let that fly. So everybody's gone. He went to that pastor. He said, oh, brother, have you ever heard John Rice pray? Quite a prayer you prayed at the close of that service. Oh, quite a prayer. It even gave God the chapter and verse in the Bible so he could look it up in his Bible in heaven. And that guy got indignant and he said, Dr. Rice, I didn't give God the verse and chapter number. I did that for the people. And Dr. Wright said, now, to whom do you pray? This is what's happened, folks. We've turned prayer into this eloquent ritual. Instead of just coming from our heart. This is not some kind of little thing, ritual, that's just supposed to be said by memory. No, Jesus taught us to pray and pray from the heart. And the first thing He said, man, when you start to talk to, you talk to God in heaven, you, our Father, which art in heaven. The first thing Jesus taught us is that we need to recognize to whom we are speaking and where He resides. Now, look, I wouldn't fuss with anybody about this. I do this sometimes myself. But Jesus did not teach us to pray, dear God. He didn't teach us to pray that. He said, you see, God is a Trinity. And the Father is one manifestation of the Trinity God. You with me? Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. Okay? And the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Jesus makes it possible for us to pray because He saved us by His blood. And the Holy Spirit prompts us to pray. And the Father is the person to whom we pray. And that's why Jesus said, now look, again, I wouldn't fuss with anybody who prayed, dear Jesus. And sometimes even I've said that, dear Jesus. Whoop, 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 whoop. That's not the right way to pray. Time out. Start over. No. I'm kind of stuck on John Rice this morning, and I didn't read any of his books, but he was great on the subject of prayer, and I heard him preach on it. But I'm kind of stuck on him with this. But he said one time, Bill Pennell told this story. Not John. Bill Pennell told it about John Rice. They were in a meeting, and John Rice got up and he prayed, dear Jesus, I pray, oh God, Heavenly Father, that You'll please and ask You, Holy Spirit. He talked to. I mean, in Jesus' name, and dear God, help us, amen. And Bill Pennell said they were on the platform signing people's Bibles, and he said he could see her coming from the back of the auditorium over here. She had that walk, and boy, those earrings were just, he said, you could tell that she was coming on a mission. And Bill Pendle said, I just stood off to the side. I wanted to watch this. And so he said, she came right up to Dr. Rice, and Dr. Rice, Yes, ma'am. He signed the Bible, you know. Yes, ma'am. She said, I noticed that when you closed with your prayer this morning, or this evening, whenever it was, said that you prayed to Jesus in the name of the Father, through the Holy Spirit, and to God, and all of those. I thought we were taught to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And he said, lady, when you're a member of the family, you can talk to all of them. And that's true. And I wouldn't fuss with anybody. Look, folks, hey, if you're going to pray, start with dear Jesus, just the fact that you're praying, amen, right? But Jesus did take the care to tell us to say our Father. And I don't think it's just, let's just throw a name in here. Let's call it Father. I think it's significant to recognize Him as our Father. Because all of us are aware of the earthly benefits, both tangible and intangible, that accompany having a dad or a father in the home. Father is a term of respect. It is a term of honor. It is a term that subconsciously denotes accountability. It is a term of endearment, a term of security, a term of stability. You know, it's interesting when you have girls and you watch them get engaged and then, you know, get close to getting married. And when they get close to getting married, you know, they're all excited. Man, he asked me, and here's the ring, and here's the date. But the closer it gets to the day that they get married, it's almost like, and sometimes they sit at the table and cry. What's the matter? Do you love him? Do you want to back out? But you know what it is, friend? For 21, 22, 24 years, in most cases, they've had a father who has provided and cared and loved and taught and instructed and disciplined and hugged and kissed and brought along and nurtured as a little girl through adolescence and into her teen young lady years. And here she is, this young adult, and she's fixing to give her whole life into the hands of a fellow that she's only known for 12 months. In your case, I would bawl. I'm just teasing. That's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. Father. Father means something. And addressing God as our Father which art in heaven reminds us, you know, that this is not some distant, remote person who is removed from our life. Father. Our Father. My Father. Your Father. And we have the opportunity to talk to Him in the beginning of every day and addressing God as our Father which art in heaven reminds us that we have access to one who is far above all that we know on this planet. It reminds us that He sits high and lifted up above all of creation. And when we say our Father, when we start talking to our Father, we are going above and beyond the highest mountain peaks, above and beyond the atmospheric heaven, beyond the stars, beyond the constellations. We are accessing the very dwelling place of God's home known as heaven. Wow. Our Father, which art in heaven. You know, when we got to the Washington, D.C. for that thing, if you've ever been out there, you got the Capitol building. It's that beautiful building there on the east end of the mall. And the west end of the mall, you got the Lincoln Memorial. Okay, and on both sides of the Capitol building, you've got on the south side, you've got all the House of Representative offices, office buildings. And on the north side, you've got all the Senate office buildings. And there's three of each. There are three House buildings. It's known as the Rayburn, Cannon, and Longworth House office buildings. And then on the Senate side, you've got the Russell, the Dirksen, and the Hart. And the representatives and the senators have offices in those buildings. And you can go in the building, go through security, go in the building, and walk down the hallway and knock on the door of your representative. And step into their office. And there's a receptionist there. And you know what? You know, those representatives' offices and those senators' office buildings, the senators were a little nicer than the representatives, but 435 representative offices, you know, they were just kind of simple, plain offices. You go in, here's a receptionist, here's some people over here, here's a divider, somebody back here, there's a little office that's his actual office. And, you know, that's just very simple, very plain, very, very plain, vanilla. But when we went to see Senator Durbin, he was in the Capitol building. He's second in command in the Senate. So we didn't go to any of the Senate buildings. We went to this place, the Capitol building. Only has a few offices in that building. And it was ornate. We had to pass through extra security. We were escorted right to the door. The door opened, and it was not this plain vanilla office. It was a beautiful office building with 50-something staff. And we were escorted back to Dick Durbin's office in the Capitol building. You know why? Because he's second in command in the Senate, and he had a very special office. And friend, when you and I pray to our Father, we are going somewhere very important. Very important. We are transcending all that we know on this plane, horizontally, and we are accessing the throne room of the one who sits above all creation. And yet we get to address him as our Father. Whoa. That's special. No wonder Jesus expected that we would pray. Because through His shed blood, we have the opportunity to access the very throne room of the highest that there is. There is none higher than God. And we go right to His throne by way of prayer. Our Father, again, not some remote, distant, removed figure of authority who cannot be approached by the common people. No. But a Father in heaven who wants His children to come to Him. Our Father which art in it. What a way to start the day. What a way to start the day. Our son-in-law and daughter up in Elgin have been living in a townhouse. It's a very nice townhouse. That's where they started after they rented the garage for a while. But they're out of room. They're out of room. Terrible. Got those three boys now. It's just, got all three boys in one room. It's just. As they've been praying and asking God, and she sent an email last night, said, "Dad, we're showing the house today between 12:30 and 1:30. Please, please pray." And this morning, when I woke up, before I ever got downstairs, as I was moving from my bed and going from the bedroom to the restroom, I was already. I hadn't been awake 2 minutes, and I was already in the throne room of God in heaven. Already. Father, please help this appointment today. Please help these people to like the house. But folks, what's on your heart? What a way to start today. I'm going to tell you something. It's far better than Fox News. It's far better than Mike and Mike. It's far better than what the Blackhawks, Bulls, Cubs, Sox, Bears, Dolphins, Kangaroos, all of them did yesterday. I won't lay down. Father, well, I think you have to be on your knees and your head bowed and your eyes closed. Where'd you find that? Father, thank you for today. Father, please bless that house to sell. Please help those little boys to have a yard. What a way to start today, folks. Father, this is your child calling. Let me ask you. Did you ever really need to talk to one of your loved ones? You really needed to talk, or you really wanted to talk to, and you anxiously dialed the number. Here we go. You anxiously dialed the number. In those days, it was a curse to have 999-8799. Remember that? Far better off to have 212-312, you know. And then it just rings and rings and rings and rings and rings, and there's no answer. And it's like, oh, come on. Or something that we don't hear much anymore. Beep, beep, beep. You don't hear that much anymore. Remember that days when that was the phone? The phone wasn't in the television, and the phone wasn't in the computer, and the phone wasn't walking around with you stuck in your ear. That was the phone. Beep, 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 ring, no answer. Come on. Answer. You ever been there? You never step out of your bed. Father, and the line just ring and ring and ring and ring and ring. You never step out of your bed. Father, beep, 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 beep. You step out of your bed. Our Father. Yes, hello. In fact, with the invention of color, remember when hello was a question? Hello? Oh, I don't know who you are, right? Hello? I was always asked the question, hello, with caller ID now, what is it? Hey, Ben? I call somebody, hey, Terry? I call Brother Woodward. What's going on, Reverend? Father? Hello, Terry. Father? Hello, Steve. Father? Hello, Scott. Father? Hello, Grace. Hello, Rick. Hello, Tom. You mean the God who put all this together, created it all, holds it all together, all the angels in heaven bowing at His feet, and He knows me when I call. Whew. What a way to start the day. Let me encourage you, when you wake up tomorrow morning, if you wake up to a radio or a CD, that's wonderful. But you know, the alarm, when the alarm goes off, hit the alarm button and don't reach for the remote or the iPad or the iPhone or the iPod, any of the other kind of I thing out there. How about Father? Father. Let me say this and I'm done. There's a sad, sad, sad misconception that is trumpeted from pulpits and churches all over the world. And that is this. That every human is God's child. And God is every human's father. I'm here to tell you this morning that that's not true. According to the Bible, the only people who can literally call Him Father are the ones who have trusted in His Son, Jesus Christ, for their salvation. And listen, listen. So many things happen when you get saved. One of the things that happens when you get saved is you get born into God's family. And then you can say, Father. If you've never been saved, the need this morning for you is to trust Christ as your personal Savior. Be saved. Be saved. Oh my goodness, be saved. And if you are saved, I think we can learn from this that Jesus expected that we would pray. And He gave us a little overview here and said, when you pray, here's how you start. That great big Creator God, He is your Father. What a blessing. So let's pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, thank You for the privilege to be in church today. Thank You for the privilege to preach Your Word. Now, would You please speak to our hearts? And Lord, may this be more than just a pep talk. But I pray this would be something that we would consider and act on as soon as tomorrow. In Jesus' name.